Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Here we go, landing thrusters. Stabilizers.
You have no idea how to control this vehicle.
I'm working on it.
Even if we do find a breathable atmosphere and you manage to land without killing us, what will we do about food? Water? There could be hostile life forms on the surface. How will we protect ourselves?
Look, I've got less than 24 hours to figure out how to scan a star system and program a descent sequence in a language I don't understand. And I'm not going to get it done with you interrupting me every 5 seconds. So I'd appreciate it if you'd keep quiet until I'm finished. Now, lift your butt.
My what?
Your behind, your rear end. I haven't checked that panel yet.
80s MP, MP3, MTV, MP3s and MTV. We move from MTV AMP. To MP3.
All right.
Okay. All right. Dan is ready to go. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and declare the podcast open. Open for business.
Proceed.
So hello everyone. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Pleased to meet you.
Thank you, Trip. Thank you, Charles Trip Tucker III.
Our salvation.
Okay. EPS conduits might do the trick.
All right. Here's the deal. This is episode 220.
I've got some EPS conduits that might do the trick.
He's always talking about EPS conduits all the fucking time. With Trip Tucker III and his EPS conduits.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to that. But
I think we have news.
We have a whole bunch of stuff. We have so much stuff.
Like when he, this episode.
Silic.
When he said Silic, he was all talking about EPS conduits in that episode too.
Oh, shit.
But that's neither here nor there. We have stuff.
All right. So yes, this is episode 226 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We're dangerous.
On this episode, we will be discussing Star Trek Enterprise. We'll be discussing the Star Trek Enterprise second season episode, Precious Cargo.
Give me a medal.
Yeah. Okay. So we will be discussing that episode soon enough, as soon as we can.
I have to say that not all of these sounds are going to line up perfectly with what we're saying, because I really went overboard with the sounds.
Oh, this episode. You got a lot of sounds.
I have too many, and it's a problem, because when there's so many, when you have too many of something,
it's paralysis of choice.
It's like if you have a room just full of shit, it's like having nothing because you can't find anything. You know what I'm saying?
By shit, you mean colloquial, miscellaneous junk.
Yes. I just wanted
to stress that in order for your point to be clear to the audience, we do have an international audience. You do not mean just heaping piles of feces. Okay, all right.
Should I stop? One point of order I want to bring up. Should I stop with the fart sounds? I think that might be. I wonder if that's like irritating to people.
Doesn't that sort of increase our listeners?
Yeah, but we're talking about Star Trek, so shouldn't we be a little bit more dignified?
I think we reach a greater audience with the fart sounds. Isn't that what people are tuning in for? Is the fart sounds?
First of all, in addition to a certain degree of logic, that there is an audience for the prurient out there. And while we may not be a purient show,
almost,
that doesn't mean we cannot have purient elements.
Yeah.
But I also...
Wee-wees.
I think that whole thing you talked about being a dignified Star Trek. Yeah. I think maybe we should have started doing that earlier than episode 226, if that's what we were going for.
Dereliction of duty. Dereliction of duty.
All right. Okay.
I know you're off duty, but we've got visitors. Duty, but duty, but duty, right. But duty, but...
This is already off the rails.
Yeah, like duty butt. It's like tells her to lift her butt.
Duty butt. Lift your butt. Lift your butt.
I keep trying to say there's so much we have to get to before we even get to the discussion.
Too late. We're already we're jumping right in.
We have like four voicemails.
Okay, let's go.
We've got other stuff to talk about.
Voicemails.
Okay.
Duty butt.
First, no more distract him ups. I'm trying to get to the news him ups.
Distract him down.
The main news him up, and I'll keep this super brief, but the main news him up is that after much haranguing by our audience, we have created a Patreon page.
Oh, yeah.
For people
that's
who
right.
are so inclined to go to. It is patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek. Made it very easy
for
you.
What else would it be?
You can sign up for bonus content. We've got a few things up there. We'll add things as we go along. We would love to hear your suggestions for stuff you'd be interested in hearing on that particular feed. And by the way, you can sign up for free and still get like you get notified that there's stuff. So you can kind of see what's available and see if it suits you. Yeah. If you'd be interested, there's also going to be at least one or two pieces of free content.
Dave, you want Dan to call you up and just verbally abuse you?
That was one idea we had, but that might be a separate tier. That might be more than the $5 a month tier. But anyway, we'll build that out more and more over time. but that's it. We were asked for it,
Would I be on retainer, or would I get paid per call?
I think it would be, because you can sell digital assets and other things, and I think it would be maybe a perk call or maybe a per message.
$5. I'll call
it'd be
you.
Be like a cameo.
Yeah, I'll do one of those for $5. And
a
I'll
damn
call you
cameo.
but we can't have a
conversation. I think you can charge more than $5 for a cameo.
Well, I'll say $5. So like,
it depends on the content, I suppose.
Like if I don't have to talk to you, $5. But if you want to have like if we want to have a brief.
No, you have to.
If we have a brief 5 to 10 second interaction, I'll give it's $10.
How much for an hour long Zoom call?
I don't do that.
All right.
Oh, come on.
$1,000?
I'm too important.
Patreon.com/ It's Got Star Trek. If you're interested, go check it out. We would enjoy that. Okay. Oh, and what kind of content? Just silly nonsense. There's going to be more of this nonsense. If you like us and you're willing to actually pay some money, you'll just get more of the same.
It's a lot of silliness.
A lot of silliness, outtakes, things like that. We'll try to be creative when it comes to that sort of thing. All right.
Goof 'em ups.
Now, next up, that was news 'em ups. Now we're on to debate 'em ups.
Debate 'em ups.
Oh. We'll get through this quickly because at the very, very end of last week's podcast, Dan generated a debate by playing a sound clip in which he argued that Riker was saying inertial dampers,
which he is.
And Jesse and I thought he said dampeners,
which he isn't.
Which he did.
And we've heard from a bunch of people about
you heard
this.
From one person.
No, we heard from a you. There's lots of different things. There's
one
Facebook
person who you know.
So Emmanuel Croft on Facebook believes that Riker said dampeners, and he suggested maybe it's an Alaskan pronunciation thing. So that was on Facebook, and Emmanuel Croft, he was the one who sent us that cool slowed down version of the Ninja Turtles stuff.
Right.
Tarek agrees with Jesse and I that it's slight, but that there's a little bit of that dampeners in there. However, Ellen from Mastodon thinks that Jesse and I are stretching it.
Oh. Yeah.
But she says it's hard to say for sure, but she does. She was like,
I disagree with that, though. It's not hard to say. It's very easy to say. It's dampers. I don't know how there's an argument on this. And I'll give you some good reasons.
All right. In fact, why don't you play it? Can you play the audio?
Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
Dampening. Yeah. You were saying dampers.
Dampening.
Yeah, but you were saying damper.
You're right.
Damping.
Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity? Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity? Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity? Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
We got to listen to it. Hold on. Everyone, we got a moment of silence, please.
Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity? Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity? Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity? Could some sort of damping field have caused us to lose velocity?
Dampening. And also, I also have evidence from Chakotea.net.
Evidence.
Chakotea.net has spells it.
Chakotay is like your own thing that you're
evidence.
You're the guy behind Chakotay.
Yeah, no, Jesse and I are starting to be suspicious that maybe Dan is the person who started Chakotay.
And here's the thing: Chakotay does all sorts of things, and there's also the closed captioning said damping. And I think
closed captioning.
And Patrick suggested that maybe Chakotay just gets there from closed captioning. I say nay because if you read Chakotay,
what is this guy, a horse?
If you just let me explain myself for a second, please.
No, you're
I'm giving my side of the argument, and you're sabotaging it.
All right.
Sabotage.
So, anyways, what was I saying? Chakotay.net has damping, and Patrick suggested that it was the same as the closed captioning. They just got it from the closed captioning, and I said no because if you read Chakotay.net, they add their own little footnotes isn't the right word, but these little interjections, like when Uhura got into that upsetting battle on that one episode of TOS, and it said in closed captioning that Uhura, it had their script, right? But then they put a little note in there that says Uhura exits the room with all of her gear fully intact or something like that. They add inserted notes there. So that's why I say it's different than the closed captioning. They both say damping. And considering the history of TNG saying dampers instead of dampeners, it would follow that they would say damper instead of dampening.
You make solid.
Some sort of damping field of cause us to lose velocity.
That's all a solid argument.
I still hear damping.
But I would say that I often read the closed captioning, and it's just like that's certainly it seems like that it's a transcription of what is heard, and like you can hear it one way or you can hear it a different way.
What
it's
is
not
heard.
Necessarily heard.
Not necessarily.
So I, here's the thing about that.
I don't necessarily hear it that way.
No, see, and you're right. That's possible. It is very possible that it got it wrong. But then you'd also have to say that Chakotay.net got it wrong. You'd have to say that they both got it wrong, which makes it even more unlikely, combined with the fact that it's already unlikely
and
that they would get it wrong.
What is Chakotay.com?
And it's already combined.
It's
with
Chakotay and the Maquis.
It's already combined. Okay. Look, it's possible. Okay, there is. I will give you a small percentage possibility that it's possible that it's dampening. But like, I think so many things are stacked against it that there's no question in my mind. It's like it's not like, you know how in science and stuff, it's like it's never zero. It's
science.
It's never.
Oh, there's no such thing as
there's no zero 100%. It's like you can say for all intents and purposes it is 0% to me. But I admit, yes, there is a possibility out there.
You guys all up in the quantum mechanics, am I right? Probabilistic fields.
So, son of a bitch.
Am I right? All right. So that debate, I guess, will continue.
Jeez, a flip.
We do have to keep moving on, though, because we have so much other stuff.
I want to say my own thing real quick.
But I thought you just did.
Would you like to say something of your own?
Okay, what's your own
Dan?
Thing? Oh, you have an... Is it your own debate him up or news?
It's not
up?
A debate. It's just
is a distract him
up? It's just something that I didn't notice a couple episodes.
Is it tangent him up?
I was listening to the episode and I noticed this thing that was talked about in The Visitor. And I was at the time
Visitor?
When I was listening to it, I was like, I didn't really comment on that, but that was a weird thing. Patrick, you were talking about what makes a good host. Like, you were reading from a list of, like...
I forgot about that.
The Visitor.
Oh, shit.
Partially failed. Like, reading tips on being a good... Like,
that's
a
why
good,
this episode is not called The Host.
How to treat visitors.
Yeah, and one of them was, which I thought was really bizarre, and I'm surprised they didn't comment it on the time, at the time, was when you said, one way to make a guest feel welcome is don't ask them to remove their shoes.
Yes, I remember.
And I was listening to it and I was like, that's really fucking weird.
I know. Why do people always make you take your shoes off when you go in there?
Well, this one is saying don't ask them to remove their shoes.
Yeah, I'm saying that's I'm
so you're
I
down
agree
with
that. Yes.
But like it's weird, but dude. Some people consider that like be at home. This makes you feel more at home. See, you're not wearing shoes like us. We're it seems it can be construed as welcoming depending on where you're coming from.
That's how they trap you at the
and
house.
I think that that's the danger of that suggestion is that
where do your shoes go? Somebody could take your shoes.
I think the
problem not on
where do they
the
go?
Problem the problem
and then it's time to go and it's like where's my shoes? It's like I'm stuck here because my shoes are gone.
The problem with that suggestion is it can be taken from different perspectives. It could be construed as polite or impolite. And it's just such a random thing to say anyways. Like, just don't... Like, of all the things to make someone feel welcome, to
all
focus
the
on
things.
Their shoes.
It is ridiculous. You all know? Right, moving on. Next
what
thing?
About jacket? Should you take... Do you make them feel welcome by taking off their jacket?
I don't make anybody do nothing
See,
in my
but,
house.
But I bet if you asked them to take off their jacket, that would be welcoming, but I bet...
I would ask somebody... If somebody came in and they had their cheeky little penis out.
That's something.
I would probably ask them to tuck their cheeky little penis back into their pants.
Would you ask them to take their jacket off?
Well, okay.
No.
Taking your jacket off is something you're supposed to do when you go inside.
It looks like someone's got a case of the sposedas.
Oh.
This guy's all like, take your jacket off, take your hat off, take your shoes off, take your fucking pants off.
No.
Do you have really, gross feet or something, Jesse?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, moving along. It's my fucking job.
They're
here.
Not like.
Wait, isn't that your job? Wait. We all get to say something at the beginning of the episode.
No, we. Yes, of course. I know.
My job is.
I'm allowed to say something. I'm allowed to say something
as much as you want. I'm saying my role, in part, is to be know that we have other things to do, and I should encourage us to move along.
There are voicemails.
But what if I had a whole list of other things to do? Then what?
That would be great.
But then we'd be in battling each other because we both have like competing levels of things to do.
That's why we do.
Do you have a list?
We do discuss these things ahead of the show, and I did point out that we have 4 fucking voicemails.
Okay,
and
well,
we haven't even gotten to one of them yet, and we have an email. So that's what I'm trying to get. We have all that stuff.
We're already like 15 minutes,
hence my hurry, so we can discuss this fucking episode of Enterprise. All right, so
it's not even that great of an episode.
First.
What are you waiting for?
Continuing this theme of debate, Star Trek debates, we have a voicemail from Isaac from Unplanned Trek that I actually missed. He emailed this a couple weeks ago, and I missed it, but I did want to play it because it is relevant to another debate that we have been having.
Hey, guys, Isaac here. For some reason, I can only record for exactly 90 seconds.
Wait, we've played this.
So I'll make the most of that. Don't interrupt me. Do not.
I'm sorry.
Because there's some things that I've known to be true all my life. The sky's blue, leaves are usually green, other things. And I've known that Raphael is cool but rude. And you guys have discussed that. And I've just known, I've held that to be true all my life. Until Patrick kept pressing the same button. And it just sounded like he was saying, cool but crude, cool but rude, cool but crude, cool but crude, cool but rude, cool but crude, cool but rude. Over and over until I started thinking, is he saying cool but crude? And maybe he is. I mean, I'm not really helping there with the maybe, but interesting discussion. I also wanted to add, you know, being a Star Trek nerd, I've never really got into a fight. The last fight I got into was the day after the Ninja Turtles premiered. And in the fight, as part of the fight, the guy I was fighting, Simon, he said, I bet you didn't even like Ninja Turtles. And look, there's swear words that we're not allowed to say. That hurt. That comment of Simon's hurts more than anything else that you guys can throw at me. And I dare you to do it. Anyway, I'm glad I brought that up. Rock on London. No. Fuck. Rock over London. Rock on Chicago. News them ups. They're on the rad. Time for a break.
No, it's not yet time for a break, although I can see what he's saying. That was pretty
He's pretty on point because like he knew he knew at one point we'd start talking.
Hey,
we did.
Hey.
That was kind of spooky.
Hey, there's that unplanned trek. It might be very fucking planned out for all we know.
So wait, what was he saying? He was saying that he got in a fight because someone told him he didn't like the Ninja Turtles.
How old was he when that movie came out?
He got in a fight. He said the last fight he had gotten into was when the Ninja Turtles came out, like the day after it came out, and in the course of the fight, in a trash talking manner, one of the opposing child
said,
"I bet you didn't even like Ninja Turtles."
That reminds,
which is offensive.
This
when did Ninja Turtles
come out? 1990.
This isn't perfectly comparable, but like that reminds me of the time in third grade. Fifth grade. It was fifth grade. No, it was fourth grade. Fourth grade.
1990 was like seventh grade.
Double Dragon 3 for the Nintendo. No, Double Dragon 2 came out for the Nintendo. No, it was Double Dragon 3. No, it was Double Dragon 2. It was Double Dragon 2. I think it was Double Dragon 2.
Three more voicemails.
Okay. It came out, and like someone was talking about Double Dragon, and like they were talking about how it just came out. I was like, yeah, I got that. No, it was Double Dragon. He was talking about Double Dragon, and I was like, oh yeah, I just got that. And he looked at me, he just said, I don't believe you.
No.
And I was just like, I was speechless. I was like, what? I did. He's like, I think
you've mentioned this before.
Yeah,
what school is it?
And I said to him, I was like, you don't believe me. Why don't you believe me? And he goes, I don't know. I just don't. And then it was fucked up.
All right.
That guy sucks.
So yeah. We'll move along.
Kids
we'll,
say
we'll,
fucked up things.
Yeah, yes. They we do. That was yeah. the that was the point of the message is A, our evidence and data collection that has been aided by audience members makes it so that even though I'm still in the cool but rude camp, it's a little bit murkier. Murkier. It's a little bit murkier.
That's an interesting perspective.
Did he go from crude to rude? Is that what he was saying?
No, he was always rude.
He was vacillating.
But when you played he was saying when we played the slowed down version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme,
it got different.
Yeah.
Because you played that to try to convince people it was rude, and it actually convinced him of the opposite.
Well, I didn't play it for that reason. I played it precisely because it was sort of ambiguous when you slow it down to mega slow.
I thought
but that could also be auditory hallucinations.
I don't know. I seem to remember a couple episodes when you played it, you were like, see, this proves that it's rude, but maybe I misunderstood you.
Maybe.
We'll have to play back the tape.
Play back the tape. Okay. Yeah. Continuing on, we do have another voicemail from Grayson about Dan's algorithm.
Ah.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I am so excited to learn just a little bit more about Dan's algorithm that provides you with the tools to decide which episode of Star Trek that you will be talking about next. You talked about it in this episode that I'm listening to right now as I take a walk through the gorgeous Queen's Park in Invercargill, New Zealand.
That's awesome.
I am in the same hemisphere as the Jam Eaters.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
It's so exciting
to
share the same hemisphere.
Yeah, Tasmania.
With the Unplanned guys. It's amazing. Anyway,
I can see
that. Very long plane ride next week to come home. And I'm hoping that I can influence the algorithm a little bit.
Oh, man.
By, maybe throwing in some keywords about an episode that I hope maybe you might be able to discuss. You know, there are certain parallels for many episodes that I think you might be able to work,
sabotage
episodes involving Worf back from a Bat'leth tournament, perhaps,
I think we did that one.
You haven't discussed
yet.
Planets like
that one's called Parallels,
like Forcus 3, which are lovely, lovely planets.
Forcus 3,
you could draw a lot of parallels to Forcus 3 and other worlds, other worlds where there are alternate dimensions and realities.
Dan's thinking about this.
Quantum realities that you could explore on those other worlds where people might even be in relationships and marriages to other people that they wouldn't be in otherwise.
Except it's not the mirror universe.
So, I'm just hoping that the algorithm will draw some parallels to things and maybe inspire you guys to speak about some other episodes moving on into the future. So, all right. Thanks, guys. Really looking forward to hearing your next episode on my long flight home. Kia ora. See you later.
Thank you, Grayson. That's pretty hilarious. I like the idea of gaming the system, gaming Dan's algorithm. And again, for those who are uninitiated, Dan has an algorithm that he's developed that ingests the previous week's episode and then produces a list of episodes, suggestions for us to watch.
Past tense, part two.
Usually involving past tense.
Yeah, and he asked me to explain it. I think the basic quick explanation is that I take the transcript from the episode that we just did, our podcast transcript, and then I feed that podcast transcript and I analyze how many, what words were said and how many times they were said, and I compare that with this. Jesse,
you've officially lost Jesse's interest.
And
I'm still interested.
And I take it and I compare it with all the Star Trek scripts most of the Star Trek scripts out there.
All of them?
Most of them. And I compare the transcript with the Star Trek script And I see how many of the words,
because it's only like part of Enterprise,
right? and I see how if I can match them.
I'm talking about legitimate shit.
Yeah, I know, but you're talking about it in the middle of me explaining something.
Okay,
it's like what you're saying is perfect, but temporally it's out of whack,
dude. You are temporally
that's my thing
out of
man.
Whack. Dan, to be fair, that is a little bit Jesse's thing.
Okay, no, I have all the Enterprises. They have only have a few discoveries.
And by the way, you know, speaking of jam eaters, we do have an email from Isaac saying, "Nerds, I'm obsessed with Dan's algorithm. I want to know, when you input the previous week's pod, do you include the sound clips? Is it also possible to find out the episodes that nearly made it? Cheers, Isaac." Now, in terms of the sound clips, in a sense, yes, because so Dan has, it's a multi-phase process where first he runs it through a transcription thing, and so any sounds that are in there are going to be interpreted by the transcription program in one way or another, particularly if there's words in it. So they will be incorporated.
Right.
And in terms of other episodes that we didn't
I have do, it. I have a MongoDB of like all the past ones I've done, and they have a list from most to least. So it has all of them in each one. So I could give you the entire list for each one. So
but doesn't it cut out the name of the episode?
Well, it doesn't include the name unless we mention the name of the episode in our podcast.
It's only the dialogue, the script, the dialogue and direct, anything that's in the script.
Yeah. The name isn't in the script.
And the name usually isn't in the script unless they're being cheeky, and they do that whole thing where they're all like,
"Yeah, but how?
What is this? Some sort of Star Trek?"
It's organized in a JSON file where the name of the episode is like the key, and then the script is the value. The name of the episode is the key. The script is the value, and so it doesn't read the key.
And about that
it just
list,
reads the value.
Oh, it doesn't read the key.
Maybe we'll make that a Patreon thing. Dan can start posting his lists. But when we go to pick the episode, often the list it's produced has episodes that we've already talked about are a show that we are, because we try to bounce around a little bit, right? So if we did a Deep Space Nine, we're generally not going to do another episode of Deep Space Nine next. So if it suggests a Deep Space Nine thing, we'll parse the list to only go
we
to
we recently did a TNG, so we wouldn't really do parallels just
yet. We'd probably wait a little bit until we did the parallels next.
Okay. You must be a fun date.
All right, moving right along.
Christmas! Christmas!
In the long
Has nose?
Isn't that Phlox?
It goes.
Dan. I'm glad you're doing this, Dan.
What did your subtitle say when she was speaking her language?
It just said...
Did it say like alien language or something?
I think it just said alien language.
Yeah, that's what mine said.
But Chakotea.net has the actual...
Chakotea? What does Chakotea.net have?
You look that up while I continue talking here to keep moving us along in this the endless break.
There's still
the first mega break. But I do appreciate you doing all those sounds, because it's creating some Enterprise content in this first break, which otherwise we'll have none. So next up, we have a previous caller, Khaki from Joy of Trek, has this.
Hastrava Dukla.
Has this to say.
Tuvat At.
Hi, guys. This is Khaki from The Joy of Trek. Thanks for playing my voicemail a few episodes ago. I loved hearing your responses, but I also realized that I talk a lot and I don't leave any room for you guys to get a word in edgewise. So sorry for that. And this time I'll make sure to leave in some pauses.
Our salvation.
Yeah, see? Good.
Like that one. First of all, sincerely, Dan, thanks so much for the in-depth explanation of your process producing and organizing these sound effects. I'm even more impressed with the amount of work that you put into it, because it's pretty fantastic, and it seemed like Patrick and Jesse were just as interested as I was. Like, I thought it was awesome.
Thanks.
Okay. Hang on, guys. let Dan finish. Go ahead, Dan.
Thanks.
So anyway, episode you spoke about Invisible Friend, and you were rightly perplexed about the invisible alien Isabella's inscrutable motivations. And it occurred to me that there's a lot of similarities between her behavior and that of the character of May Ahern in Discovery Season 2. So, spoiler warning, Isabella and May are both... alien-ass aliens who, quote-unquote, recruit someone from our world, our life, to fulfill their mission.
And float around like a little dot.
Believing they have a personal relationship. Taking the role of an existing person, real or otherwise, from their target's memory. Now, neither of these aliens seem to have a comprehensive model of how our kind of life works, you know, command structures or relationships. So in Discovery, May thinks she's doing a great job creating a convincing fiction that she fully expects Tilly to believe, and then becomes, you know, understandably frustrated when her strategy fails and she acts out, and she only has Tilly to act out against. And maybe Isabella is going through something similar, and she's acting out because she's a lone agent who's in over her head and sees her bad plan falling apart. Mm-hmm. I also agree that Alexander's bad at ceramics, and his gregarious cup, which I love, should be thrown out the airlock. So I may send a second voicemail, if that's okay, with a little help from trout fishing in America. So thank you. Love you. Bye-bye.
That is okay. We'll hear that second voicemail.
You're welcome.
In just a minute.
He's the fourth one.
I do like...
Who's thanks. That?
You're welcome.
Thanks.
I do.
You're welcome. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks. You're welcome.
I like that idea. I wish the writers had come up with this idea. This is talking about last week.
Yeah.
With imaginary friend, the Isabella character. We were like, yeah, the motivation was a little confusing.
Yeah, that would have been a good motivation. At least, show it from her perspective a little. Because it didn't really show... it from her perspective. Yeah. It kind of described her perspective, sort of, not really. It's like, it just said like, oh yeah, she's looking from the eyes of a child, but showed her motivations from the eyes of being a different entity, you know.
And I like the comparison.
And being like, fuck, this is hard.
I hadn't considered that. It really was it's a really close comparison to that season two Discovery storyline when you really come down and think about it, but I never made that connection before. So that was very cool. And Kaki follows that up with this little treat for us.
Mr. Rozhenko, could you come to the front of the class, please? It's come to my attention that you've been working on these ceramics, like whatever this is, for 2 weeks.
Alexander,
that's not how ceramics works. So I've got a little message for you, and I hope you take it to heart. Your weekly ceramics are weak and dramatic. Your shit is a waste of clay. So finish your fucking gregarious cup and throw it out the airlock. The airlock, the airlock, and throw it out the airlock. Finish your fucking gregarious cup and throw it out the airlock. One more time, Alexander. Your weekly ceramics are weak and dramatic. Your shit is a waste of clay. So finish your fucking gregarious cup and throw it out the airlock. The airlock, the airlock, the airlock, and throw it out the airlock. Finish your fucking gregarious cup and throw it out the airlock.
Brilliant. That was amazing.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, people are so fucking
talented.
We
should get more voicemails like that.
Yeah, that was kick-ass.
That was super awesome.
I like that we become so predictable with interruptions that now we have not just one,
that's
but two.
Really, two people doing the
that's
interruption.
That's even more hilarious.
That was a great little ditty.
And also,
I think
if you were unaware of the Joy of Trek podcast or were seeking more reasons to give them a try, I think you've just got a very good one right there. Mm-hmm. The Joy of Trek podcast can be found, you know, in podcast land, where all the podcasts live. All right, so with that, we're gonna go to break, and
we're gonna get to the episode.
We actually will talk about Enterprise season 2, episode 11.
Starts with a harmonica.
Precious Cargo. All right, we're back.
We're back.
We're back in business. Star Trek business. Star Trek Enterprise business, specifically. Pacifically, one might say.
I think we're going to get down to brass tacks.
There's no second break fun-em-ups this week. I knew we would not have time. So no special fun-em-up. No
we're
crazy
gonna
lists.
We're going to really concentrate
none
on
of that. We're going to get right into this episode.
Starts with a harmonica.
It does. I have that note, too. It's a harmonica
it's like,
opening.
This
with
is
a
fucking Roseanne.
That's hilarious, Jesse and Dan. I'm so glad because I was like, I bet Dan's gonna have this recorded. He's gonna totally pull this harmonica. I also thought this was a sort of a hilariously short and generic opening teaser.
Yeah. He just like walks out and is like, oh.
Right, some weird thing. Ship is all coming in.
It was a cool looking ship.
And the harmonica thing, I kind of get what they were going for, but...
I do, but I don't.
Okay, here's the problem. I think they were going for, you know, he's the down-home Charles Tripp Tucker III, and he's just enjoying his relaxing time by playing a harmonica.
And is it supposed to sort of emphasize, like, this idea, because he's with this, like, this princess who's all fancy, and she keeps calling him a dirty commoner, and is it supposed to...
I hadn't thought of that.
And
I think you're absolutely right.
Try to make him seem more down-home, like...
The only thing missing was a fucking bit of fucking wheat sticking out of his mouth.
Yeah. Is it, like, trying to make make him the opposite.
And a guy with a one string guitar in the background.
Right. It was trying to make him do everything like a princess wouldn't do or something, which is. Yeah.
Okay.
Was,
I think
I don't know.
I think
weird.
And you. That's yeah. I think a very good point because I hadn't thought of that.
Let's hope I get this right.
I only think it was a good point because I hadn't thought of that. That's what the previous sentence clearly means.
To be honest, I hadn't really thought about it.
But okay. So yes, that's fine. The problem though is they're trying to make him have that certain vibe. It came across as a guy trapped in prison vibe. Not a guy relaxing on his vacation.
Would you mind telling me what's going on here?
What the hell's going on?
He's like cooped up in a room and he's all like...
That's when people are always playing harmonica in prison. It's like a horrible...
What's that supposed to mean?
It's a non-sharp instrument that you
What's that supposed to mean? Would you mind telling me what's going on here?
What's that supposed to mean? What the hell's going on?
What's that supposed to mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
Would you mind telling me what's going on here? What the hell's going on?
What
beg your pardon?
I didn't hear it. Maybe since you guys used the closed captioning, was it Rytellian cargo?
Rytellian.
And was it cargo pirates or pilots?
I think it was pilots. What's a pilot?
Because pilot makes more sense.
Wait, it was this.
We thought they were cargo pilots.
Right? Okay, yes, pilots. It sounded cargo to me like pirates, and I was like, why is Archer being so nice to these pirates?
They claimed you were their passenger.
I like how he says that for some reason.
They were
passenger.
Like alien goofies or something, like from Goof Troop.
They claimed you were their passenger.
Passenger.
Yeah. Both
they
of those guys.
They claimed you were their passenger. Stare at the moon with my girlfriend.
Both of those guys we've seen before.
Stare at the moon with my girlfriend.
One of them was Leland Crook. He plays Plin. And he had previously played the Vorta Gelnon.
Gelnon.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So Gelnon.
I'm telling you the truth.
What about me?
Gelnon, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
What about
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 I'm telling you the truth.
This podcast is going straight to, Patreon.
Straight to video.
Hey, Dan. You know, sometimes you're like, hey, did I play that too many times? And you're sitting there like, no,
it was funny. Could you take out that part where, I said this?
That time
I understand.
That time it was too many times.
What?
Okay, Gelnon. A couple points to make about Gelnon. Point.
Kaitama.
Leland Crook played him. Gelnon was a Vorta in Deep Space Nine. In two episodes of Deep Space Nine, first in One Little Ship, which we discussed in episode 73 of this podcast, and in Honor Among Thieves, which we discussed in episode 158 of this podcast. Now, the other thing I was thinking about is that Gelnon is one of the most stereotypically alien, nerd-derived alien names.
Yeah.
Gelnon. I'm the Vorta Gelnon.
Vorta Gelnon.
Bow before me.
My name is...
Bow before me. I am Gelnon.
He can never harm me. I'm too valuable to them.
Sounding like Conan O'Brien for some reason. Gelnon. So yes, that's who that was, the space bozo or whatever name you were.
Smellanoids.
Whatever you were calling them.
They looked like Goofy from like a Disney Goofy, but like alien version.
Well, I didn't get the Goofy look. You mean like Goofy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. Do you have a big snout?
Well, no, but it looked like sort of like the cartoon, like Goof Troop kind of.
I beg your pardon?
I know. Did we watch the same episode? I'll have to go back and look to see what you're talking about.
I don't know, man. They look like goofy aliens.
Well, they were goofy aliens. I did like how
they were
guy
goofy.
The guy was all like, "I thought you."
And they were like dirty. It was like, "Can I take a bath?"
Yeah. Did you see that Archer?
Oh, he like wiped his hand.
He looked at his hand and like flexes it. Like he's like, "Oh my god,
like,
what
was on that?
My hand is covered in goo,
slimy
alien goo."
How long have these guys been in the ship?
But. Long story short,
stinky.
And this is not a very long story. It's a very slight story.
We're
going to
make
down.
It as long as possible.
It's a very slight story. But it does star Padma Lakshmi, who was famous for being on Top Chef.
Oh my God, the way you said that.
For 20 seasons.
You said Padma Lakshmi?
Yeah, Padma Lakshmi.
But for a second, I heard Padma Lakshmi.
Okay.
That's preposterous.
Pad Malakshi. That's what I heard coming out of your mouth.
And so if that's what you heard, then what I'm hearing is that we should take your arguments in favor of.
Oh,
cool
no,
but
no,
crude.
No.
Let's
no.
The king of the swamp.
That's so silly. All right, so yes,
the king of the swamp.
All right, so this story is very basic. It starts out, it's like a Sleeping Beauty.
I'm the one in charge.
It's like a Sleeping Beauty, very overtly, like with the translucent coffin and all that stuff.
Sleeping Beauty here will never know there was a problem.
And I appreciated that they called it out right away.
And then Hoshi called him out right away for staring,
which was funny. You know what Hoshi was doing?
I wasn't staring.
Hoshi walks in and has that little conversation. Then he's all like, you know, looking at what's her name? Kaitama. Looking at Kaitama. And then Hoshi has this look on her face that says, she looks over at Trip, and then she's like, the look on her face is like, oh, this is going to be a Trip episode. And then she gets up and walks away. I also think that this is like Lone Star and Princess Vespa.
Yes, this is very much like that.
Or Han and Leia.
Who is Hoshi?
This kind of thing happens like over and over again, where like they all like hate each other, and then they just start smooching.
Yeah, Humphrey Bogart and Catherine Hepburn.
It's a Hollywood
African the Queen
thing. Yeah.
Now hear this: the minute we get out of here, the first thing we do is dump the matched luggage.
Who is that?
Now you hear this: whoever you are, you will not touch that luggage. And furthermore, I want this pigsty cleaned up. I will not be rescued in such filth.
Listen, on this ship, I don't take orders, I give them. This is my dream boat, sweetheart.
Dream boat.
Sweetheart?
I'm the one in charge.
No, right? It's like the same thing. Yeah. It's hilarious.
There's very little dry wood. Mm. He'd never harm me. I'm too valuable to them.
Like, all her lines kind of sounded like that.
Kaitama.
That's Kaitama.
Is that why you, because earlier in the episode you said you recorded a massive amount of sound clips for this
particular episode? No, I was trying to get just good Trip ones, and I think I just like
so
went
you
a little
more heavily into the Trip ones.
Yeah, but I ended up taking a bunch of hers because the way her delivery, like I hate to say this, but I feel like her acting was better when she was speaking Creosian or whatever.
There's very little dry wood.
Yeah,
this is meant for one person.
I have that. I have that in my notes. Just the quote. There's very little dry wood.
There's very little dry wood.
I like that.
We may begin our descent.
I agree with you, Dan.
Will we be able to breathe?
Wait, this one.
You're touching me. You're touching me.
You're bleeding.
I agree.
I doubt they would.
That this is not.
Is your entire species so ill-mannered?
Like the highest caliber acting,
yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, that's not necessarily unusual on Star Trek.
Unusual.
Because she was still, I thought, very charming and had a good presence, and there was a chemistry between her and Charles Trip Tucker III. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's some of those lines. They're somehow still endearing. Like that wood line, it's still endearing, even though
there's very little dry wood.
it's not great, but it's something's charming.
Well, it's
about
like
it.
They're just walking in water most of the time.
Yeah. They landed on Dagobah.
Very little try.
Yeah, they did land on Dagobah.
It's all Dagobah without the Yoda.
Way down the line. I mean, first he sees her and he's in the thing and he's staring at her like a creepy person because we should just get it out of the way and remind folks, yes, this is 2003, I guess?
I wasn't staring.
Those are the bad old days.
I forgot to look it up, but it was like, that was the whole idea where they were like, in order to counter the over-sexualization of women, they were just like, we'll also over-sexualize men.
Charles Tucker III.
And perhaps unsurprisingly, this story was by Rick Berman and Brandon Braga. And
those dirty boys.
Trip starts out covetous of this woman when she is passed out and has no personality.
Well, I mean, it begins,
zero interaction.
It begins with
her
calling Sleeping Beauty. That's where it begins. Yeah. And then from there it just kind of goes from there. You can tell that he's way into her. Yeah, the whole thing, like you were saying, it was like Spaceballs, and I'm sure there's other
Spaceballs.
I'm sure there was other.
Watch out!
I'm sure there have been other stories like this, but it was
like every story.
Like, it was basically like he starts off, you know, he's like, let's go do this thing. And she,
let's go do it.
From the start, he says, like, let's go. And then, of course, she has to contradict him and say, like, no, let's stay. And then he's like, well, hand me this tool. She's like, no, I don't do that kind of thing. And so it's this whole thing. Right. And then he's like, let's go here. And she's like, that's dumb. We're going to get fucked up and we should stay here. And then, like, of course, they're in the cramped space part where he's, and she's like, don't touch me. Oh, and they're but then the sexual tension, that's where the sexual tension really begins when she starts ripping her dress up. Oh, when she can't get into the thing. That's when it really begins. But then, like, when they're getting close, like, the sexual tension's building up and they're getting all mad at each other, but they're getting that sex mad at each other, And, you know, and then there's a part, she's like, give me some food. And then he's like, no. And he
I like this is a good Dan sort of play by play.
Yeah, no, this is we don't normally do these like detailed recaps, but Dan's doing an excellent job of it.
Then he goes, he's like, no, you give me some food. And then she doesn't want to, but she gives him food, but she does it all sassy, like she's like, eh. And he's like, oh, gee, thanks. And then they find the place, right? And he's like, hey, let's go here. She's like, it's not gonna work, it's stupid, you know, she's all skeptical. And then when they land though, it like her negativity starts to turn a little bit positive and hopeful.
Well, she all grabs onto him. He's like, grab onto something. Yeah, grabs onto him.
Yeah, she grabs onto him, and there's more that's more sex tension. And then when they're on the planet, she's still like unsure, but she's starting to become more positive. But then she gets discouraged because
there's very little dry wood.
And so and then that makes her really mad. And so but then she was like, she was having that hope, right? But then this like just knocked her down and it knocked him down, and that was like it all fell apart. It was like a house of cards, and it all fell apart, and they were all so mad. And there's
there
been so much
dry
there's
wood.
Been so much sexual tension.
It dried her right
out. And they're all so mad, and there's so much sex tension, and then all their anger is welled up into all these swirling emotions, and it just goes and like comes
she's
out
like ripping off her
and
clothes.
then they have sex and then they fuck, but really
and then he's like in his like Starfleet issued like you know
sexy undies sexy blue undies.
Now part of me thinks that they just made him all
that's my butt.
Part of me thinks that the only reason they made him get all
this
mad
is a bad time.
Part of me thinks that the only reason they made him get all mad and yell at each other right before they like made out and did it was just to make it seem cuter. I don't know.
Oh no, look, this is the most predictable and tropey, whatever the best adjective
it's
is.
Like that there's
this is the tropiest of episodes ever.
Yeah. It's so tropey to have like two people arguing with each other and then like
no it happens like all the time.
But that's why this one felt forced because she was actually starting to feel positive for a while. Usually it begins with an argument, like when they do those anger sex moments, it begins with an argument. This one they argued at the beginning of the episode and then they started like actually feeling positive, but then it just all fell apart. And then
so it was a cool ending.
So it kind of felt like they forced that anger sex part a little bit, but yeah,
the landing scene was pretty tight, like the whole like the all the suspenseful kind of landing action.
I think
part
of what goes to explain what Dan's concerned about is to me it felt like a kind of a series of vignettes. Yes, it was one story, but it was kind of like
a pass at you.
Let's have this series of vignettes, let's have a little dinner vignette,
you gotta break it up for commercials.
Let's have them, they're in the spaceship for a while, and then they're in the the escape pod. I gotta say, it was one of those rare times where I'm watching something, because I'm not a claustrophobic person, but watching them climb into and like hang out in that escape pod, and Trip kept talking about having to be in there at least a day, and you're just like, oh my
what are you
God,
gonna do about
this poo-poos? Horrible.
Well, did you notice they said it would take a day to travel 90 million kilometers? Yeah. That means they traveled
Seems
about
improbable.
That means they're traveling 3.75 kilometers or 3.75 million kilometers or 2.33 million miles per hour.
Holy fuck.
That if they're going 90 kilometers in a day, it's 2.33 million miles an hour. This is pretty fast.
That's really fucking fast.
That's really fucking that's really fucking fucking fast. But yeah, the escape pod, I was
hit some shit.
I was all confused about like the sort of like the spatial like
spatial
logistics of how that escape pod left the ship versus how they sat in it.
It, like, yeah,
it didn't
like
make any sense.
Squirt it out.
Yeah, like, which way were they? They were
space pods are always like.
Now do you
space pods?
Now do you? When you're in a space pod, do you think you need to be? Do you think that they were? You necessarily have to be facing the direction you're going. Do you think they were?
No.
Do you think that? Which way do you think they were facing? Because they went down and they squirted 90 degrees.
Space pods are always sort of like intended. Like you're gonna land on a planet.
Okay,
we're floating around.
Okay, so where do you think that the hatch to enter the space pod is? I think
from the top.
It was from the top, but that means that they would have to be walking.
Dan, okay, to the audience at home, Dan is holding his hands together with one flat and the other perpendicular, perpendicular to the other hand.
So
he's making like a T shape, but it's an upside down T.
So when you walk, when you walk perpendicular to,
now
like,
his hands are parallel.
If your force is going, you walk perpendicular to the force that you're traveling to, right? And so the ship that escape pod came out from the bottom of the ship, didn't it?
Okay, I think there are a number of problems with this escape pod scenario. First is what you described, the geometry is a little confusing. Yeah,
because if you come out the bottom, that means if you enter through the little circle at the top, that means you're going down. You're walking down. You're like having 90 degree.
But your shit's
all sideways.
My thinking is that, all right, yeah, it's a little confusing, but you can imagine. You can imagine some sort of geometry where it's like, okay.
I tried to, and none of it made sense.
You can imagine that someone can imagine it.
It's all like a sideways.
The bigger problems I have with the escape pod are what you described earlier, which is the speed, which seems ridiculous for an escape pod, because normally you think of escape pods just kind of like floating around with a few little thrusters.
Right.
And if you're not right next to a fucking planet, you're just sort of shit out of luck until a ship comes and picks you up. That's the whole point of the beacon.
I'm still on the spatial logistics. Like, the only way that I can sort of reconcile this whole thing is if they weren't facing the direction that the escape pod was going. If they were like facing sideways or something.
Yeah. What difference does it make?
Because like, if they're coming in through the top, that means that they would have to be facing that top as they were leaving, because that's the way it turned, which just doesn't make sense because they weren't. They went in the hatch.
As the worm turns.
When they went in the hatch, they were facing 90 degrees to the left, which means that they would be facing one of the rounded edges, but it wasn't going forward towards the rounded edge. It was going towards the flat cylindrical edge, the flat side of the cylindrical edge.
Yes.
And like, it would mean that they would have to be walking downward.
So how do you?
They'd
think
be sideways.
That's a pickle, man.
And given everything that you've described, another thing I thought about how it's difficult to determine port and starboard on a cylindrical vessel.
That's just
absolutely.
Depending on your
really turn out the way you expect.
Depending on your orientation within said vessel.
Help me open this thing.
Said vessel.
Not Sid Vicious and not Simon Ferocious.
Simon Ferocious.
I learned a fact that I did not know previously is that Freddie Mercury, at least on one occasion, kept enraging Sid Vicious by referring to him as Simon Ferocious, because Sid Vicious' real name was Simon.
Right. And
anyway, that's a funny story from the land of music.
Lift your butt.
England.
Okay. Haven't checked that panel yet. You're behind. Your rear end? You're behind yet. Haven't checked your rear end panel yet. Haven't checked your butt yet. Haven't checked your behind yet. I think I found the landing thrusters.
Okay.
My what?
And earlier you're like, I don't know if we should play the fart sound effect.
I think I found the landing thrusters.
My what?
Haven't checked your behind yet. Haven't checked your rear end panel yet.
We're taping this on Groundhog Day, so
haven't checked your butt.
Let that be the excuse that we're taping this on Groundhog Day, and that's why you keep hearing the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Haven't checked your rear end panel yet. Haven't checked your behind yet.
We do need to note a couple things about this episode. This episode shares not only some similarities, but some actual lore with the TNG episode "The Perfect Mate," which starred Famke Janssen, who was
Janssen.
She was also a Kryocian, just like Kaitama is. And it was another episode where it was, she was in a cocoon and being delivered to be the perfect mate for some whatever. And that's a good episode, actually. Mm-hmm. But we haven't watched that one yet.
Famke Janssen.
Yeah.
She was Jean Grey.
And they have the same spots, right? Famke Janssen's character and Padma Lakshmi's character. They have the same spots. Wow. And those spots influence the design, the revised design, or the design of the revised Trill.
Oh, shit.
On Deep Space Nine, where they changed from the floppy foreheads to the spots.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
I don't know. I thought it was mildly interesting.
What? I'm Creation, you know?
Mildly interested.
All right. What's that supposed to mean?
How about it? It also has some overlap, although not directly, with the TNG's The Dauphin. Do you remember The Dauphin? When Wesley falls.
The Dauphine?
The Dauphine. Yeah, I know.
Is that
the
like,
Dolphin. Is not, that, not the Dolphin. The Dolphin.
Is that what you go after
like,
you hang?
Like Flipper?
Is that after you hang out with the Wall? You go to the Dolphin?
Wait, I don't get it.
Octopus.
The Shark.
Okay.
Shark and the Dauphin.
Okay. Okay. I got it. Yes. But anyway, that was, you know, a person who is being escorted to become the leader of their planet, right?
It's the heir to the throne.
We mention these things just because it's going to be obvious to at least some folks that this episode pulls a lot of stuff from not only other media, but just other Star Trek episodes. And it's not a bad thing. It's just we're observing that is indeed the case.
What do you think it means to cross the subspace threshold?
It doesn't
mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything because he's just
subspace is communication.
He's just talking about the falling out of warp.
Crossing the subspace threshold.
It's like going from speed of sound not speed of sound. You know what I'm saying?
Does it mean they're going faster than subspace?
I don't know.
Why don't they just use warp for messages then?
It should have gotten.
Why don't they just use warp for messages? that cup they were drinking from, it all looked like some cup you'd buy on Amazon or something. It's like Walmart or something.
It was always cool on Star Trek how the looked prop like people NASA would find toilet. These really cool different types of cups and mugs and wacky stuff like
this
that.
This mug.
Mm-hmm.
That mug. Those mugs.
Those mugs.
Before we get too far along in the episode, even though we're jumping all over the place here,
what's that supposed to mean?
It means that I wanted to mention the whole universal translator bit, which again was another one of those quote unquote cute
translator
cute scenes. It's of course it just comes across as sort of magic,
right.
But when I was watching the episode this time, I've seen it many times before. I saw it when it first aired, and back then it's like, okay, you know, universal translator, that's just straight up magic. But nowadays with all the AI stuff, I don't know, it seems sort of plausible that like you'd have a little device that very rapidly be able to figure out somebody's
language. Even at the last episode in Imaginary Friend, even in that episode when Troy was all like saying, computer, tell me about my calendar this week. Like back then,
that
was magic back then. And that's totally like, that's so like 10 years ago.
Commented earlier before we were recording the podcast that I looked over at Dan, who was intently organizing his sounds on his various tablets over here.
You're touching me.
And the light was reflecting off the screens from the screens off of his glasses, and
had a glint in his
and
eyes.
He was he was furiously tapping his fingers around and dragging shit and doing all this other stuff. And I was like, we're about to do a Star Trek podcast.
We were talking to him. He was like, what?
He's living Star Trek right now.
Yeah,
he's living Star Trek.
I had my console in front of me.
He was distracted
with your L cars and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're having
wild
conversations
stuff.
About
where are we going? You're bleeding. Will we be able to breathe? Perhaps you'll find out.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
But the universal translator scene, what was it? She was saying like
you don't know who I am. Who is Hoshi?
That's where they switched them around right away. But see, okay, the universal translator, in a way, it was cool that they did the transition, but in a way, it hurt my ability. It did not help with my ability to say.
Dan is looking over at me with a sort of a pleading, pained look on his face. I don't know what you want from me, man.
It made it difficult to suspend my disbelief.
Yes.
Okay. Because normally when you talk with the universal translator, it's always on. And so the fact that their lips aren't moving in a foreign, the fact that the lips are moving in along with the English, if you're from an English speaking place watching the episode, which is what we are from, Yeah, and that's what they're speaking. Anyway, look, point being is you just don't think about it. You don't think about the fact that their lips are moving along with what they're translated to. But
and they spoke to the other aliens just fine.
And in this episode, though, you see her lips move in her Krios language.
Cosmos!
Like, you see her lips moving in that, and then suddenly when she's all like,
who is Hoshi?
Her lips start to obviously say that. So her lips fall along with the alien language and with English.
So you're suggesting it would have been better if they had just not had that because it's just a little added extra... It's clearly just done for some fun.
So yeah. She should have been sort of out of sync with like some overdub like...
Well, so look.
I think Dan is just saying because you watch that process happen, it accentuates the fact that it's silly nonsense.
Right, but not, and I'm not suggesting they change it because I thought it was I found it fascinating to watch. I thought it was interesting to watch. So I would not recommend they change it. I was just saying it's interesting how it made me think this makes it more noticeable that their lips aren't following along.
Right. Noticeable lips.
Is your entire species so ill-mannered?
Those are some noticeable lips.
Noticeably bored with this episode.
So let's see. There's a whole B plot where Archer was like he was talking in a language only space pirates can understand.
Yeah. Space pirates.
It was good cop, bad cop. That was the other trope.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk because I do want to talk about like the hilarious sitcom-y B plot with Archer. Like that it was a very serious topic, but it was handled very hilariously for some reason. We will talk about that when we get back from the break. Mm-hmm. All right, be right back.
And now we're back.
Are we back?
Okay. Dan was just giving me shit.
Okay.
Did you fall in? He always says that. He's like, "Did you fall in?
You won't survive without my help."
I'm way too big to fall into a toilet.
Well, you could partially fall into a toilet.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
Yes.
You must be one hell of a diplomat.
Archer. We were going to talk about Archer. So first
of all. Oh, yeah. Well, what I was saying the different things. Okay.
Snarcher.
What were you going to say, Patrick?
Well, I was just going to. From the beginning of the episode, the first thing is Archer's being all nice and like, hey, guys, come on over. We're just going to hang out and have a good time. And then Archer starts feeling a little like when Archer is like asking them, like, can we go to your planet and hang out? And they're like being cagey about it. He's like, I don't know about these guys. They're being a little cagey.
Right.
When Trip is kidnapped, that's when Archer is like, oh, shit, fuck this mode. And he's like, wants to get in on them. Mm-hmm. One of the guys escapes onto the ship. He leaves behind his friend, Plin. Mm-hmm. Plin is being interrogated at first, just the normal way. And then Archer sets up this hilarious scheme.
Yeah.
Right? As you said, the good cop, bad cop scheme.
Real quick, I felt like this episode could have almost been like 10, 15 minutes longer. Not because I wanted to watch more of it, but just those two plots seemed like they weren't quite a two-part episode.
No,
I'm not saying I wanted to watch more episodes. Just saying if they were going to go with those two plots and what they did, it needed a little more time to flesh out what they were trying to do. Because both of them seemed abridged somehow.
But it was funny. And somewhat disturbing where you go into the way it was directed. I thought it was a well-directed episode. I think it was David Livingston who directed this one. Where they bring Plin in as a prisoner and Archer's standing in the room, like all far away. Mm-hmm. They've emptied the entire room, save for a little table, a little tiny ass chair.
Mr. Plin.
Like that weird, that weird skinny chair.
If you're late for your shift, you might receive a beating.
And Archer, considering that his best friend in the whole world, the chief engineer of his still basically experimental spaceship, has been kidnapped. Archer's having a boatload of fun.
Yeah,
here he's just having the time of his life.
And so right. And I wasn't clear about. So okay, these guys are obviously working as sort of like independent, sort of like dudes. Yeah.
But this is
like,
season two Archer. Season three Archer would have just kicked the shit out of this guy and tortured him.
So Goff like totally threw Plin under the bus. Essentially, he just left him there, and Plin was all pissed off at Goff. Goff. So on one part, Plin was like trying to play like I'm a victim too, even though that's kind of bullshit. In a way, he kind of was.
Yeah,
like because
he was
even
clearly
though,
like the sort of comical underling.
Yeah.
Guy.
So Archer and company were.
Company.
The company sounds pretty
Archer
awesome.
And company were victims of Plin and Goff
like
and
crunk.
And Plin was a victim of Goff. So in a way, he
Plin was a victim of Goff.
But on top of that, he was trying to play dumb, like he Gelman. Didn't. He was trying to play dumb, like he didn't know, like he was, because he was trying to say like, oh, he left me too, yeah. Blah blah. I'm not a part of this. But he was obviously a part of it. You could tell because at the beginning when they were talking about how she wouldn't have enough air to breathe. They don't have enough food and she, her. Yeah. Her cryostasis is breaking, and he goes, if we're forced to abort the mission, we won't get. And he all paused and goes, paid. And like, and they get, and like, what
he
that
was trafficking, just like the other guy.
Yeah, that was referencing the fact that he was doing a ransom, and then of course, like you said, when he was Goff was telling him not to worry about what they were doing, and then when Trip Tucker the Third gets captured, and then and
Charles
Plin,
Trip
and Plin all like leaves suddenly. Yeah. Like Plin was being like very shady, but he was pretending like he was like not a part of it, but he still was a bit of a victim.
Well, okay. So structurally, I think that it highlights.
I'm telling you the truth.
It highlights some of the issues with this episode, which is the story is so thin and is so reliant on tropes.
Yeah.
That. It's still, by the way,
Tucker the Third.
By the way, having said all this, it might sound that I'm down on this episode, and there are many reasons I should be. It's thin,
it's
which
got
is
some questionable bits.
So the structure and the
Start
balance
the
is a little bit off.
What we're missing is the ocean breeze coming off the Gulf.
At least there aren't any mosquitoes.
The sexual politics of this episode would have been outdated in like 1965.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? This is not only tropey, it's like extra old trope.
It's like a TOS episode.
Yeah. But that all being said, Padma Lakshmi is charming. Connor Trenier does a.
I am first monarch of the sovereign dynasty of Krios Prime.
He does a great job with all the really, you know, predictable nonsense that he goes through.
I'm from a starship.
And he does look good in those blue underwear.
Yeah.
So there is a charm to this
I'm
episode.
I'm working on it.
It's jungle planet, I like.
It's a problematic episode, but it's not like a total waste of time. But with the Archer scene, one thing that stands out is it's like, okay, what are Archer and T'Pol fundamentally doing? What they're fundamentally doing is they're trying to trick this guy into thinking that they will fuck his ass up if he doesn't give them information.
Right.
But you
could. He gets really scared.
You could have
late for your shift.
You could accomplish this by.
You might receive a beating.
By putting doing what Archer suggested initially, which is putting him in an airlock and threatening to space him.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's speaking in a language the pirates cannot understand. He was
they're always
like,
spacing
I had the
people.
Same thing written. Like he was planning to space him.
If you think somebody's susceptible to giving up information if they feel their life is threatened, you can, even if you know you're not actually going to do it, you can then threaten their life by in a very efficient way, which is throw them in an airlock and or threaten to shoot them in the head or something. But instead, they have to orchestrate this hilarious charade, and that's because they had to fill time. They just had to fill out space in this episode.
From the very first thing he tried,
part of the story.
The very first, the very first thing he tried to do was the very first thing he did was threaten to space him. But then he like paraded him around like he was some super prisoner, and Reed was being all serious and shit about it, you know. And
they were talking about. I have a minor correction.
And then they were talking about like they were like going to bring him in front of this official tribunal.
Look, I have a final. I don't mean to interrupt, but there is a minor nuanced correction.
Don't mean to interrupt.
I do mean to interrupt, but I apologize for it. But it's appropriate to provide this information.
No
now
offense is intended,
because it might impact other aspects of our analysis. And that is, as I noticed,
I beg your pardon.
I noticed, particularly on the second viewing, that Archer does not actually ever threaten to space the guy. What Archer says is Archer threatens to take Plin. Put him in an airlock, and then he said he would leave the outer door unlocked, and that if he wanted to leave, he could open the door anytime he
wants. It was voluntary.
It was like, you know your way out. Yeah.
If you decide to leave, you know the way out.
Exactly. So he did not, in fact, that was what I found very, that's what made me think of why didn't he threaten to space him?
Okay, but he said, Archer said, take him back to docking port 2, put him in the airlock and post a security detail. That's what he said. He said, put him in the airlock. That implies he's going to space him.
Look, I know that there's a little bit
it's
of an implication there.
An implication.
But what he actually says is put guards on him, which means they're not doing anything right now. You don't put guards on somebody, you're immediately throwing into space.
No.
So I know if he's putting guards on me, that means I'm being held there. Secondly, he says, I will leave the door unlocked, the outer door unlocked. He's specifically saying, I'm giving you the option. He's making a joke, basically, saying, if you don't like it here, you know how to leave. And that was, you know, by jumping out the airlock. He's clearly this is not like friendly commentary, but I don't think it's him actually threatening to space him, which is why
I was only joking.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Which is why I thought, well, why didn't he threaten to space him instead of T'Pol having to wear her Vulcan robes and basically wearing it as a costume, which made me a little uncomfortable. For the purpose of lying to this fellow to make him fear for his life.
Yeah, he made it seem like they were like this really militant crew, and then, like I said, they were marching him around and saying that like there's going to be a tribunal, and then he was like, "Wait till you meet my boss. Like, if you think I'm mean, oh man, like you better watch out for
She's
her.
She's really going to bust."
And then, sense because he's the captain, and is like, "Wait, why is she suddenly all elevated?"
And then he talked about like how they've lost crewmen because of T'Pol, and then like Archer, and what also doesn't make sense. Then he all bows to T'Pol to make it seem even more like militant.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, they are laughing their asses off. Yeah. Archer's bowing because he's like, he's snickering and he's trying to hide it from the guy. He's like, oh, this is so funny.
I know. He's like, I'm about to bust my...
He's like, this guy's about to shit his pants.
Yeah, but I know. I thought there was going to be a more like...
Look at this guy.
All they were doing was trying to get information on where they were. I thought there was going to be some kind of sneakier action going on, but there was really... They didn't need to go through all that shit. Yeah, you're right. All they could have done is just threaten to kill him. But maybe they could have just beat... Maybe they were afraid they'd have to beat him around a little bit, so they had to wear him down mentally, and that's the most nonviolent way they could think to do it. I don't know.
That's fair. I think that's
looks
a perfect,
very creative.
That's a perfectly cromulent rationalization.
Get your ass out there!
We're not going to hurt you physically. We're just going to wear you down mentally.
But it does work. And then, of course, we've already touched a little bit on the landing of the escape pod with Trip and Kaitama, and that whole sequence, which was kind of interesting. And they land in Dagobah. They get all sweaty and gross. They have a campfire or whatever, and they're like making out after they argue.
And that happens, and then
there's as predicted, the there's like a homing signal. It's like, the bad guy. Is it the bad guys or the good guys coming?
Well, it's both.
It's both of them. And then the bad guy gets hit on the back with a stick, and he's like floating around in the bog.
Well, what I did think was cool is I liked the fist fight, the boxing match that Trip had, because first he gave him a left jab, a right cross, a left hook, and a right uppercut. And the way they did it, he looked like a boxer.
Connor Trinneer looked in that scene like he knew what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah, it was like one of the only convincing Star Trek fight scenes in all of Star Trek, like new or old.
And then the golf guy was all like, he was like, that didn't hurt at all. There's very little dry wood.
There's very little dry wood.
It's just so we can talk.
All right. Did you notice that Kaitama by the end after the ripping of the dress, all the stuff they went through, she's basically dressed like Jane from Tarzan?
Yeah.
Which was clearly on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, super tropey.
It looked like, and they were talking about like that food they were eating. It just looked like beef jerky. They made it sound like it was all nasty.
Yeah. Alien jerky.
It was just some kind of jerky. Depends
how hungry you are.
Like dried mango.
Yeah, it made me pretty hungry.
I won't make a pass at you.
Now get your ass out there. Don't come back without an armful of dry wood.
But there's very little dry wood.
Oh, no.
There's very little dry wood.
Now get your ass out there. Totally don't come back without an armful of dry wood.
There's very little dry wood.
Haven't checked. You're behind yet.
So remember when Trip does the whole like dress up a sticks, put the uniform on sticks with like a gourd head.
Yeah. The shoot the dummy trope. The shoot the dummy trope.
We've seen that before recently in Star Trek. O'Brien did it in that episode of Deep Space Nine, Paradise, which we discussed in episode 202 of Discovery Star Trek. Yes, O'Brien escapes and then he puts his uniform on some thing. But it was very...
Chief O'Brien!
Again, it's not just tropey, generically speaking, it's tropey
which
even
episode?
Within... it was Star Trek. Paradise, where they're like with the people who think not having technology is cool, but it turns out they're weird. You know, Paradise.
Weird.
Why am I blanking on this? Did we do this recently?
Yeah, dude, not that long ago. It's episode 202.
Oh, well, that was like weeks ago.
Okay. I don't know what long ago means for you. So yes, while there was very little dry wood, I will say that one thing this
keep looking.
This episode made me think about was that as much as I do really love new Star Trek, I'm a fan of all the new Star Trek to varying degrees, but I enjoy all of it. These types of episodes are the ones that remind me, or these are the ones that make me think about how much I miss these sort of slow, silly episodes where it's just, it's nothing. It's a little fluffy and
we don't have all day.
Yeah. Maybe we don't need to be spending all the energy producing this type of stuff. I get it, but I don't know. Sometimes there's something a little comfortable about watching a somewhat disposable episode of Star Trek or whatever.
Well, it's fun to have an excuse to let the characters be as silly as they want to be.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, there was nothing.
Tried different things.
I mean, technically there was stuff at stake. Apparently there were lives at stake, but not really. You never got that feeling like anything bad was going to really happen because it was so tropey or just like, there's no way anything serious is going to happen in this episode. I don't know. I like some of the effects were kind of interesting. Like when the cargo ship breaks free of the docking clamps, it like all crumples and there's like little ghiblies coming off of it.
Penis ghibli.
Yeah, it looks all floppy and it looks all goofy. It looks so weird. And when they let the ship, like, you know, lets the ship gas out on them, and then
the
covers,
big green cloud of warp gooblies.
Warp gooblies. The escape pod was going through the sky onto the planet. That was kind of neat.
Yes.
Actually, maybe this speaks to like when I was talking to earlier about how the escape pod dimensions and spatial properties didn't make any sense. Maybe this speaks to that because I was talking about how it didn't make sense what direction the space pod was going in versus how they got in versus how they were the escape pod versus how they were sitting in it.
Yeah.
At the end when they were towing that ship along, it was on there like sideways.
It was strapped
to it sideways.
Because they had the technology by the 2000s.
So maybe that ship is just like a sideways wacko ship.
Wow, it's the classic joke in all of sci-fi is why do ships always meet each other on the same plane?
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course.
You can do whatever you want, ships.
I know they can do whatever they want.
It's 3D space ships. Come on, ships. What are you even thinking? Down.
It's just interesting that they chose this episode to finally show, because they never show ships docked sideways like that. It's finally interesting they chose this episode, which also had a scene of spatial confusion for me due to the escape pod.
Spatial confusion. Like a great name for an album.
So it's no coincidence that they had that weirdness with the escape pod, and then they also had a ship dock sideways. I say it was no coincidence.
No coincidence.
No coincidence at all, sir. I fully support you in this quest.
No coincidence, Globus.
Haven't checked your butt yet. I haven't checked your rear end panel yet.
All right.
I think I found the landing thrusters.
What other? Do we have any?
My what?
Round 'em ups or what do we call them? Odds and ends. I liked when I don't know if you have this. For some reason, this stood out to me when Tripp was talking about like going down to Chatkin Point.
Oh yeah.
Actually, that's interesting that you should say that.
Is it interesting?
Yeah.
How interesting is it?
It's this interesting.
Are you going to push the button?
No, there was no button I was pressing.
Oh,
you don't have it?
I do have something.
You keep saying you have something, but then nothing's happening. I don't know what's happening. Are you going to talk about Chatkin Point? Chatkin Point. You know where there's plenty of wood? There's plenty of dry wood at Chatkin Point.
Stare at the moon with my girlfriend. All we're missing is the ocean breeze coming off the Gulf. Stare at the moon with my girlfriend.
I have a game.
Stare at the moon with my girlfriend.
Okay, I have a game, and this game is which one is correct and which one was spliced.
All right, so this is modified or unmodified?
Modified or unmodified?
Modified, edited or unedited?
Check, here's number one.
I used to drive out to a place called Chatkin Point.
Okay, now here's
Chatkin Point.
Now here's the other one.
All right.
I used to park along the shoreline and stare at the moon with my girlfriend.
You want me to play them again?
Yes, please play them again.
Choice one.
I used to drive out to a place called Chatkin Point.
Choice two.
I used to park along the shoreline and stare at the moon with my girlfriend.
The second one is the edited one, but that was very interesting.
Yeah, the second one is the edited one.
It was very interesting.
How'd you know that?
It took me a second. It took me a second when I figured out that the beginnings were the same.
Yeah.
And then I used my years of editing experience.
Editing out.
To consider which is which. And I gathered that the second one, that there was tonal differences.
You're not as much of a sneak as you think.
Oh.
Do you have any more games?
Thanks.
I'm glad you're touching me.
I don't have any more games. I'm glad you had the chat. I can have some buttons I can press if you want me to press some buttons.
Yeah, okay.
You can press enough buttons.
I can press some
buttons. Anything about dilithium hydroxyls?
Never know there was a problem. Sleeping Beauty here. Whenever know there was a problem. 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 Whenever know there was a problem.
Need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise.
Whenever know there was a problem.
Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise.
Whenever know there was no 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 there was no
You gotta get one of them looping machines.
Never know there was a
tools from Enterprise.
Hey, Jesse. You should get a looping machine.
Who is Hoshi?
And then
who is Hoshi?
Dan can play
sound effects. Who is Hoshi?
And Jesse, you can record them onto your looping machine.
Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
You can loop them, and then you and Dan can fight. You can fight audio fight.
Who is Hoshi?
I can just record what
who
he
is Hoshi?
Yeah.
Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
Little luck.
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 Who is she? Any idea?
If I could read your language.
Who is she? Any idea?
If I could read your language.
Who is she? Any idea?
If I could read your language.
Is this what you were practicing earlier, Dan?
Who is she?
Who is Hoshi?
Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
Who is Hoshi?
Who is Hoshi?
Who is Hoshi?
Who is
Hoshi? Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
That's pretty good.
Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
Never know there was no 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 there was
I like that bit.
Never know there was a
need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise.
Never know there was no there was no there was
who is Hoshi? 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 Who is Hoshi?
Who is Hoshi? Any idea?
All right. It's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, that was a thing. Was that exciting?
It was super exciting.
Yeah, I liked it.
You like that one?
Yeah, I liked it just fine. Okay, well... Dude. All right.
I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
Indeed.
Those are some things, right?
Hello.
Yeah, that was silly. So it sounds like we don't have any other wrap 'em ups on that silly episode.
Bring us into grappling range.
Grapplers. They talked about grapplers.
Next week. Next week.
We're cutting early. We still have like 10 minutes left.
No.
No, we're good.
We still got like 10 minutes. There's so we can fill time.
Bring us into grappling range.
We didn't even talk an hour about this episode.
Well, there's not this much to talk about this episode.
I think we covered it.
It's kind of a thin episode. But we still have plenty of stuff to talk about, not about this
episode. Dilithium hydroxyls, ionized pyrosulfates. Oh, did you see at the end? Did you see at the end when Trip Tucker III and Kaitama like did it? They did it.
when they made love.
And when Archer
to use a one of the more common colloquialisms.
And then like Archer and crew came up and Archer and was
fornicated.
Like, and Archer was like, Trip. And then like
because he's in his Starfleet
undies. And then
he's
like
Starfleet skivvies.
And then like Reed was all given this smile, like, yeah. And then T'Pol just didn't give a shit.
Right.
This was before she had a crush on him, and he had a crush on her. Reed was
just mildly annoyed.
But Reed was all like, yeah.
He was like, this guy fucks.
Yeah. He was into it. He was really he was into it in a big way.
Yeah.
Like I said, the sexual politics of this episode are problematic.
Oh.
Similar to the episode Bound.
But here's another speed thing. Warp 2.2, it would take them 5 months to get where they were going. But with Warp 4.5, it took less than 4 days. Yeah. So warp is like on some kind of like logarithmic exponential whatever
probably
you call
it. Probably logarithmic. I think it's
logarithmia.
It's like the Celsius scale.
Or it's like the Richter scale.
Richter scale?
Yes, it's like the Andy Richter scale. And if you want to be extra nerdy about it, if I recall correctly, the warp scale in TOS was either more linear or something like that. And then they switched in TNG over to this scale where you can't hit Warp 10 ever, because otherwise you turn into a salamander.
This episode turned into a Cenobite?
A salamander.
Salamander.
Don't be bringing up Cenobites on this podcast.
This episode took place in September 12th, 2152.
Yeah. Shit.
And it was called Precious Cargo. And you know why? Because there's a precious cargo is a thing you say, some valuable stuff. And she's precious cargo in that she's a precious princess. And she's like, I'm precious. I'm precious.
Yeah.
You know, like she's like, oh, like, you know, coddle me, you know?
Yeah.
What if this?
They never gave her enough chance to like be a badass. Like she just kind of the whole time kind of complained.
Yeah, I agree.
She never at once really had any agency.
It was one of those.
No, not at all. Yeah. I thought Padma Lakshmi, you know, did an excellent and admirable job with this story.
Yeah. So the title fits the character they made for her, and that she's acting like a precious princess, like their stereotypical kind of like traditional, well, not traditional, like what sort if, of non-progressive sort of princess.
What situation. If instead of an attractive, similarly aged person, potential partner.
You're the one who took a swing at me.
You insulted the first monarch.
I'm just a petty commoner, remember? Raised on a primitive.
Kissy.
Making out now.
Yes. Instead of this, instead of going for this storyline, what if instead it was a young girl, or boy? But it was a young person, child. Who nevertheless was still trained to be the leader of their planet and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so instead the episode was called Precocious Cargo.
Mm.
And then Trip had to like be all like, oh, you kid,
but then the title
you're annoying.
But then the title wouldn't have been clever because
you
precious,
do it.
Because Precious Cargo is a, remember how I was complaining
there
before?
There is very little dry wood here.
Do you remember how I was saying like a couple weeks ago about the
there's very little dry wood.
The Random Thoughts, the Voyager episode Random Thoughts, I was complaining about because like they made it as if Random Thoughts was like a phrase that people commonly say, and I was like, it's not. Well, Precious Cargo is something that people say, but Precocious Cargo is not something that people say.
No.
Well, I guess the writers did the right thing then.
Enterprise.
The writers did the right thing.
Okay.
Enterprise.
Now, let's discuss what
Enterprise.
We're doing next week.
Enterprise.
Where's Captain Enterprise? Archie?
There's been
Enterprise.
A lot of algorithm
Enterprise.
Talk
Enterprise.
This week.
Enterprise.
But next
Enterprise.
Week,
King of the Swamp.
Enterprise. Next week is a special.
Enterprise.
Yes.
Next week
Enterprise.
We are giving Dan's
Enterprise.
Algorithm
Enterprise.
A brief
Enterprise.
Vacation.
Enterprise.
Because
Enterprise.
I think it sounds like we're going to give Dan
Enterprise.
A brief vacation.
We're planning ahead of time to discuss
Enterprise. Enterprise, who she when you need Enterprise.
To discuss
Enterprise.
The anti-penultimate
Universal Enterprise.
And the penultimate episodes
them.
Of Star Trek,
Enterprise.
The animated
Enterprise.
Series, second season.
In case you haven't noticed,
Albatross,
Enterprise.
How sharper
Enterprise.
Than the serpents.
Enterprise, who she when you need Enterprise. Calm Enterprise. Down.
Those are the
Enterprise.
Episodes we're
going to
talk
about.
I hope you can hear that.
Enterprise.
And if not, you can follow us on social media.
We thought they were Enterprise. Enterprise.
We are at It's Got Star Trek.
Enterprise.
On all the social media that you can imagine. And we're also on Facebook. We're on YouTube. And, of course, you know, we had a bunch of voicemails
Enterprise.
Today.
Enterprise.
If you'd like to
Enterprise.
Send in a voicemail.
Enterprise. Car. Enterprise.
You can do
Enterprise.
So. You can do
Enterprise.
So.
Enterprise. Let me help you.
Either
Enterprise.
By
Enterprise.
Just sending us an MP3
Enterprise.
Or whatever.
Enterprise.
Or you can go to itsgotstartrek.com/record.
Enterprise.
And that's a tool, a web tool that will help you record.
Where's Captain
Archer?
Enterprise.
Or whatever.
Somebody else.
Enterprise. 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 Let me help you. Enterprise.
If you want to email us,
Enterprise.
You can email us
Enterprise.
At feedback. Feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
Never know there was a problem.
Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from Enterprise.
Never know there was a problem.
Gonna need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from
Enterprise.
Gonna need some tools from Enterprise.
Gonna
need some tools from Enterprise. Gonna need some tools from
Enterprise. Who is Hoshi?
It's got
Star Trek. Who is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
So
who is Hoshi?
Give us money. You go
who
to
is Hoshi? Who is Hoshi?
It's got
Star Trek. Who is Hoshi?
Okay.
Who is Hoshi?
Hoshi.
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 Who is Hoshi?
Goodbye.
There was no problem.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
And I'll untie you.
That's so stupid.
That's the best you could do.
There's very little dry wood.